All right. Before we go into the message,
Amen.
this week is
Amen.
Amen. Before I go into the message, this week is the second week of my trumpet blow. Before the year ends, God told me to make seven trumpet blows. So this week is my second week of the trumpet blow. And let me read out the scripture, which is the trumpet sound. Amos chapter number 8, verse number 11 and 12. Amos chapter number 8, verse number 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. This is what the Spirit of God announces, that there shall be a famine of the word of God in the coming years. The agenda and the work upon it by the enemy's kingdom has already started. So we raise up a strategy that will tackle what is coming, because God has already warned us in his word what is going to come. It is like the revelation of the storehouse of Joseph. Joseph was able to interpret the times and season. Joseph was able to interpret the dream, and he said that there will be 7 years of abundance and followed by a 7 years of famine. And if he did not interpret the dream, interpret the mystery of God, and apply the wisdom of God that was upon Joseph, the 7 years of famine would have killed Egypt and the nations of the world. Hallelujah. Joseph was an unknown man. Joseph was a common boy, a young man. No one knew him, but the wisdom of God upon him made a difference. The wisdom of God to interpret the mysteries of God, the wisdom of God to understand times and season, the wisdom of God to tackle what the enemy is going to do. Hallelujah. Do you know the Bible says nothing is hidden from the eyes of God? Even what the enemy plans in darkness, in satanic chambers, even what they do in their council meeting, what they discuss, God hears it all. David said, "Where can I hide from the presence of God? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there." So his presence is everywhere, so he can see everything. That is the revelation of the seven spirits of God. And what God sees, he will show to his servants. He will show to his intercessors. And this is what he is speaking. This is the second week of my trumpet call, that there is a famine of the word of God that is coming, that is planned by the enemy. And even as the enemy comes in, like the strategy of the flood, God will raise up the standard. The Spirit of God will raise up the standard. Hallelujah. So that is the trumpet call. And let us go into the message that God wants to speak to us tonight. Hallelujah. We are on the message of the model of righteousness. So last meeting Sunday night, I told you the reason I am preaching, because righteousness, because God wants to use the vessels of righteousness in the coming years. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord will shine upon those. The glory of the Lord will be carried by those who walk righteously, who have a character, who walk in the righteous way. So God had been speaking to us on the model of righteousness. To sum it all up, I told you the definition of righteousness is to be consecrated to perform the will of God, to be a practitioner of the word of the Lord, and to preach and teach boldly as per the utterance of the Lord. That sums up righteousness. Is to perform what? The will of the Lord, to be a practitioner of the word of the Lord, and to preach and teach boldly by the utterance that God gives you. When all these three requirements are fulfilled by you, you are walking in the ways of the Lord. Remember John, when Jesus came to John said, "No, I am not worthy to baptize you, you baptize me. But Jesus said, no, you baptize me so that all righteousness would be fulfilled. The meaning of it was, whatever Jesus had to do and whatever he had to perform was already written by the Father, which is called the will of God. So Jesus said, my Father has already written in his scripts that you are going to baptize me. So you baptize me. I don't want to baptize you upon your request, because I don't want to do your will. I want to do my Father's will. You baptize me. And when you do so, we will fulfill what? All righteousness. So performing the pre-written will of God for your life is righteousness. Performing the will of God. Practicing, not only hearing, practicing the scriptures, applying the scriptures is the word of God. How will you perform the will of God? You know, Jesus knew what was the will of God. That's why he could perform it. You understand that? He knew beforehand that I should not baptize John. John should baptize me. This is what the Father has written about us. This is what the will of the Father is. That's why when you read the book of Matthew's, whatever Jesus did, Matthew connects it to the scriptures in the Old Testament. Jesus did this, so this scripture was fulfilled from Isaiah. Jesus did this, so that scripture was fulfilled. So what he was doing, he was walking in the written will of God. You cannot perform the will of God until and unless you know the will of God. How to know the will of God? To know the will of God is to be seeking him in the secret place, to know his will. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Okay. So that was the definition of righteousness. It is to be consecrated, to perform the will of God, to be a practitioner of the word of the Lord, and to preach and teach boldly as per the utterance of the Lord. So after the definition, I came across the revelations of righteousness, and we ended on the revelation which was a preacher of righteousness. And I told you, a preacher of righteousness is never recognized by the world. If you are stepping into ministry, if you want to do real ministry, serve God really, and you think, oh, everyone will like me, you are stepping into the ministry with the wrong motives. No one will like you. The world will reject you. And we saw that from the example of Noah. We saw that from the example of Jeremiah. We saw that Noah was the preacher of righteousness. Peter reveals that. So he was preaching, but unfortunately, in his church, that was the ark. There was none from the people he preached who were there in the ark. No one was in his church. There was only his family and Noah that was saved, even though he preached righteousness. You see how he was rejected? But the fact about a preacher of righteousness is he is a prophet, and whatever he says shall come to pass. Hallelujah. His words are established words of truth because it comes directly from God. And when you do ministry for God, real ministry I'm talking about, you know, not that mixture ministry, getting anointing from that person, that this person, all mixed anointing, some occultic anointing, Freemason anointing, this and that, and all those stuff, so that you want to prove a point to someone that you are big, you are this and you are that. Not that kind of ministry. I'm talking about pure ministry, God called ministry. If you want to do that ministry, whenever you minister, whenever you preach, don't expect results to come through at that moment. I told you about the man of righteousness, a preacher of righteousness. His ministry is not like rain. The rain comes and goes away. You know, I was listening to the environmentalist because of the climate situations in the nation of India, the way the climate is changing. And he was speaking about the preservation of glaciers. He was saying, because rain just comes and goes away, the water goes away, even the rain comes and it brings floods, it brings destruction, and the water just goes away. So 6 months ago it rained, but after 6 months you can be in a drought, even though it rained. But glaciers are like the batteries of water. It releases the water slowly. And so if the glacier is in place, the river can give water. There will be an ever-flowing river throughout the year, 365 days a year. and it will release the water slowly. So that is how the impact, that is how the impact of your ministry, of your anointing, of your calling can be seen. It will be seen slowly, beloved. Don't expect that today you preach and something big will happen. It will be seen after many years. When God, hallelujah, because what is coming out through you is not rain. What is coming out from you is the life-giving rivers of water. Jesus said, if anyone Amen. Believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So don't be discouraged. People walk in righteousness. After 2 months, they are discouraged. They go back. Why? Because I'm not seeing results. That person is having this big thing. That person is having big ministry. No. Be patient. Be very patient. Have the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, patience. Because the impact of what you are doing will not be seen today. But what impact it will be, the impact that what you are doing will be seen slowly. And it will grow by the years, like the mustard seed, that which is the smallest of seed. But when it grows slowly, right? Through the years. And then after a span of time, you will see it becoming the biggest of trees. So when you walk in righteousness, you should not be anxious, beloved. You should not be discouraged. Oh, I am doing this for God. I am doing that for God. But I cannot see anything happening. Be patient, because that is the system of righteousness. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? I spoke to you about Jeremiah. I gave you the scriptures and showed how the priests and the prophets of those times persecuted Jeremiah, even so that they wanted to kill Jeremiah. So there were many prophets during the time of Jeremiah. And if you make a list of all those prophets, from beginning, the first one who is the most influential, has a lot of congregation and following, Jeremiah will come at the lowest part of the list. Maybe the lowest part, no following, most hated prophet. Who will listen to him? But the Bible says, when the young prophet Daniel was praying, he referred to the words of Jeremiah, the prophet. You see, a man who was supposed to carry out the legacy of God's kingdom in the next generation, he did not listen to any other prophet, but he took the books of the book of the prophet of Jeremiah and saw from that book in Daniel chapter number 9 that there are 70 years to be accomplished in the captivity of Judah in the city of Babylon. Do we understand that? So that is how your ministry would be. It will be carried on. What the speakings will give a push to the coming generation to carry out the legacy of God's kingdom. Hallelujah. You are not a rain that will come and go. You are a glacier that will release, even as it required. What does the Bible says? Blessed is the man who meditates on the Lord day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the sides of the river, which will bring fruits in the right season. You see that? So you do the work and you don't say, oh, fruits are not coming. Things are not coming. No. When the right season comes, your fruit will appear, like Joseph. There was a season where his fruit was supposed to come and he had to wait for a long time. Hallelujah. Are you ready? People of God, how many of you are ready here to walk in the path of righteousness? Ah, hallelujah. If you say yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No one else?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's difficult, but it's adventurous. And it's the best path. It's the best career you choose. It's the best strategy you are choosing for your life in the name of Jesus. So we ended there, that a preacher of righteousness is not recognized by the world, but he's recognized by God. His speakings are established. He's a prophet. He's a watchman. Whatever he says comes to pass. He blows the trumpet, etc., etc., etc. Let us go to the next revelation of righteousness. Hallelujah. The next revelation of righteousness is, a vessel of righteousness is often betrayed, isolated, and lonely. A vessel of righteousness is often betrayed, isolated, and lonely. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. That is what our scripture was for this message of the model of righteousness in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And let's read from verse number 9 to 18. Verse number 9 to 18. Be diligent to come to me quickly. Now, Paul is writing the letter to the young minister Timothy and giving him some instructions and giving him some information. Okay, let us, and from that information and instruction that Apostle Paul gives to Timothy, we are able to conclude about what kind of lifestyle Apostle Paul was living and what kind of difficulties and challenges he was facing. So let's read 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 9. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychius I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me. Underline that. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Hallelujah. So that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. In other words, delivered from death. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. So from this part of the scripture, we are able to recognize, we are able to see what kind of lifestyle, what kind of life Apostle Paul was living, what kind of relationships he had with people around him. First of all, he is writing to Timothy that Demas forsook him because he started to love the world. So Apostle Paul had a team of evangelists and prophets and pastors and apostles around him. And they would work as a team. They would work as, you know, as brothers together. And one person in his team called Demas, what he did? He forsook Paul. And Paul says, the reason he forsook me was because he started to love the world. And he departed for Thessalonica. Not that he left ministry, but he wanted to do ministry on a different strategy. The strategy that you have will reveal the intention of your ministry, and the intention of the ministry will reveal whom you serve, whether you serve God or whether you serve mammon. Did you hear that? Hallelujah. If your strategy of ministry, you will see some ministry just focusing on money. Today, I am selling this handkerchief. Whoever buys this handkerchief, you will get healing. One handkerchief, $100. This is the handkerchief that I myself has anointed. So, take this handkerchief. My emphasis, my sermon, I don't go deep into the word, but what I am doing is a lot of selling. Taking scriptures and only related to selling and buying of anointing, of oil. Along with the handkerchief, there is also a water. If you take this water and drink this water for 7 days, whatever problem in your body will be healed. Along with the water, I am also selling oil. If you take this oil and you apply it, and this this and this will happen, miracles will happen. So you can buy either of that, of or even there is a package of all three, and the package cost is $500. This is my Friday service. Let's come on the Sunday service. Sunday service, again, I'm selling. So my strategy is selling. You understand that? My strategy is buying and selling. My strategy is gathering money. That reveals my intention, and that reveals that what I am, who I am serving. So are you understanding? If my strategy is to become famous, I will tell people, oh, why this? Why are you not coming? I will put yokes on people. I will curse people. If you don't come, this will happen to you. You do this. You bring more 10 people. And then I will give them money to come and all those stuff. Last week I was praying and the Lord revealed me one of the famous evangelists that people look to, that evangelist as the greatest evangelist. God showed me in the realms of the spirit that he paid money to people for people to attend his crusades so that the seats will be filled. Why? Because his intention was to be known as a great preacher. Whatever intention you have in ministry, that will be the strategy of your ministry. Hallelujah. People of God are silent here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you understanding? That will be the strategy of ministry, because Demas chose to forsake Paul. Why? Because he did not like Paul's way of ministry. He did not like Paul's way. He did not choose to forsake ministry. He chose to forsake Paul's partnership in ministry, to minister with Paul or to minister under Paul. He chose to forsake Paul's ways. And Apostle Paul says, because he chose the world. Yeah, that's what he says. He chose what? For Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world. So he departed where? To Thessalonica, to do ministry, separated from Paul. You see, there is separation does not mean the person is leaving. There were separations in Paul's ministry. Like, remember the separation he had with Barnabas? Now, Barnabas separated for other reasons. Barnabas separated because Barnabas, what was the other name for Barnabas? Remember that? Joseph. His other name was Joseph. And the reason he was known as Barnabas, because the apostles named him Barnabas. And the meaning of Barnabas is son of encouragement. Everything is in the book of Acts. You can refer to that. The reason the apostles named him son of encouragement was because he was always encouraging people. He was always, you know, encouraging people to serve God, to worship God, not to go back. He was a great encourager. But Apostle Paul was different. He was a radical apostle. He was an apostle of discipline. You know, he did not like indiscipline. So that was the reason of their separation. Because this guy, John Mark, was there with the team of Paul and Barnabas. And then when they had to go somewhere, John Mark did not come. So Apostle Paul did not like it because he was not disciplined enough to do the mission trips. All right? But afterwards, John Mark again wanted to join. So Apostle Paul said, I will not take him. But Barnabas said, oh, let it be. You know, some people are weak. They go back and forth. Let us encourage him and let us take him with us. But Paul was like, no, I don't want to take him. So, but Barnabas was, we have to take him. We have to encourage him. That was the reason of their separation. Okay? And it's not that... It's not that Barnabas went to the world. It was not a bad separation. It was a separation for a reason. And Paul took Silas and went for a different mission trip. And Barnabas took John Mark and went for a different mission trip. But wherever they went, Paul and Barnabas, though they had disagreement in that matter, but they did not break their relationships. Do you understand that? They did not break their relationship. That is what I tell people. Sometimes, you know, people are like, okay, if you don't want to come in my ministry, I don't force you. You can go anywhere you want. But remember that you have to do God's will and follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. But people are like, if they want to separate, they also want to break the relationship. Stop talking to each other. You know, treat you as you are their enemies for no rhyme or reason. That is not a godly separation. You understand that? Though Paul and Barnabas were having disagreement over a certain matter, and they started to do ministry, but they did not break their relationship. They were working for the same apostolic team that was ordained under the apostolic council from Jerusalem. You know, they were working for the same purpose. You understanding that? So, but here in this matter, Demas separated from Paul because he wanted to use a different strategy for ministry. That is why Apostle Paul said he started to love the present world. Apostle Paul might have invested on him. Apostle Paul might have trained him and equipped him with the word of God. And after learning everything, he says, I don't want to use your strategy. I can do things better in ministry. So I am leaving you. A betrayal, kind of. And this is common in the life of a righteous man. Betrayals. Okay, let's go ahead. Verse number 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Opposition to the gospel that you preach. Opposition to the teachings. Opposition. Some people only want to practice righteousness in secret. They don't want to speak righteousness. I will come to that. Do you know there is a... I want to speak what the Holy Spirit showed me, or what the Lord spoke to me. There is a great need of strong leadership in the body of Christ. Do you understand that? There is a great need of strong, radical, holy leadership in the body of Christ. And because that is missing, the sons of Belial have entered the house of God. After I finish the righteousness sermon, I will go on to the sons of Belial. Are we together? But let me keep that revelation. But the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, is in what do I mean by strong leadership? By strong leadership, I mean to say to be a leader like Paul, to be a leader like Samuel. Remember Samuel? He was not a respecter of King Saul. When God rejected him, he said, oh, I will not go and speak harshly. He went and spoke the word of the Lord. Saul left King Agag to live. He went and cut down the King Agag's head. He performed the will of the Lord. He spoke the truth of the Lord. We need bold preachers of righteousness who will not fear men, but who will fear God and obey his voice. The body of Christ is in need of strong leadership.
Amen.
Are we understanding?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Do you know in churches, people, men of God are sleeping with women who come to worship? What the sons of Eli did. Why? Because the leader of the church are saying to the congregation members, if you are watching pornography, if you are sleeping with women, that's okay. You know, by time you may sort it out, but still continue to come and worship on the stage. If you are drinking alcohol, that's okay. You still continue to be in my church. You still continue to be a leader in my church. Weak leadership is letting the sons of Belial get into the house of God. And the body of Christ is in need of strong leadership. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. Amen. It says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. He resisted the words of the gospel Apostle Paul was preaching. Yes, a vessel of righteousness will be betrayed, will be persecuted. And then another important thing, I want to teach people who want to walk in righteousness, or who may be walking in righteousness. It says, verse number 16, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Okay, listen to me. Remember when Jesus went on the cross? Peter wanted to stand with Jesus. Other disciples, I am sure, they also wanted to stand with Jesus, but they forsook Jesus. When he was on the cross, there was no one except for the mother of Jesus and except for John. So there was no one with Jesus. All forsook him. All let him go. But yet, they were the apostles of Jesus, those who forsook him. Listen to me. Sometimes, where you are going with God, your friends cannot take. The friends who love you, your congregation members who still love you, they cannot stand with you in the trials and the tests that you have to go through alone. You understand that? Hallelujah. Well, people love me here. They pray for me. But there are some trials and tests that they will not be able to support me or stand with me. I have to face it alone. I have to face it alone. And then at that place, you have to realize that there are trials that will come in your life to test your righteousness, that has come because of your righteousness, where, beloved, even your wife will not be able to stand with you. The wife who loves you. Don't develop bitter feelings. Oh, you see, I am left alone. No one loves me. No, 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 no. That is a trial that God has allowed. That is a trial that that because of your choosing and your decision of righteousness has allowed you to be in that trial. What is Paul saying there? Paul is saying, at my first defense, no one stood with me. There was Luke with him. There is Timothy, but no one stood with Paul. There was all these faithful servants with Paul, but no one was standing with Paul. Paul was left alone to die in the council. He was left alone for a death judgment to be declared on him. But Apostle Paul says, let it not be charged against them. They are still my friends. Are you understanding? I am teaching you this because I have faced this in my life. And those instances in my life, I understood not even my mother, my sister, those who love me, they will not stand with me. Maybe at that time, they will also disagree with me. But I will remember that the Lord stood with me. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of you are understanding. Hallelujah. How many of you can catch what the Holy Spirit is speaking? Hallelujah. Verse number 17, he says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. See his language. Consider you in that situation. What you would have wrote or said. Oh, my friend Luke betrayed me. I knew he was like that. Oh, they did not stood with me. They did not pray for me. They did not did me good. They did not lend me money. They did not help me. No one came to ask of me. Is that your language? But see Paul's language. He said, no one stood with me, but that's okay. May God do not charge it against them. But God stood with me, and he will stand with me and preserve my life so that I can do his assignment. That's his attitude. Because he understands the price that he has to pay for a righteous life in God and a righteous life in Jesus Christ. He understands the price. Do you understand that price? If you understand that price, you will never ever complain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what I want to say is, a vessel of righteousness often betrayed, isolated and lonely. So another thing I want to tell you is, when you walk the righteous path, you will have very few friends. Everyone say, if I walk in righteousness, I will have few friends. Everyone say that.
If I walk in righteousness,
I will have few friends. Hallelujah.
I'll have very few friends.
Amen. I mean to say that you will not be a person who walks in crowds, you know, walks in crowds, who walk in crowd, dogs and jackals, they walk and go around in crowds. You will not be a person who will walk in many crowd with a bunch of people around you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you might walk alone, or sometimes you will walk with few of them. Jackals and dogs in the jungles, They walk with a crowd, you know, they come with a crowd. But lions walk alone. They walk alone. Often you will find them. Have you seen National Geographic Channel? You saw the lions? They are alone. Or maybe if they are with someone, there may be two or three around them. The walk that you are walking, many people cannot be included in your circle. There will be few. You understand that? There will be few. To your surprise, I am not so old, but I have no friends whatsoever that I call. How are you? Let's go here. Let's go there. The only friends that I have are praying people. I call them, talk with them, pray with them. That's it. I don't talk with anyone else. Hallelujah. Because I understand that I am not a dog, or I am not. I am a lion in God's kingdom. You will have very few friends if you take the path of righteousness, because broad is the way to hell and to destruction. There are many who go to it, and broad is the gate, but narrow is the gate and narrow is the path, the way to life. There are many few who choose it, and those who choose it, they will be your friends. They will be there around you. Often I told you, okay, listen to me very carefully. The more you grow closer to God, the less crowds you will have. Or even sometimes you will be left lonely or isolated because people will be afraid to follow you to higher levels. When you rise high in the spirit realms, people will not prefer to be with you. Because where you are going, the more you go close to God, there will be silence, there will be no crowds whatsoever. The more you see, if you are soaring high and getting close to God, close to the heart of God, the less people there will be. And some of them who were there with you, they are not coming with you, not because they hate you, but because they don't have the appetite, the capacity, or they are afraid to go with you there. Hallelujah. I have seen that in my life, beloved. Sometimes I have shared some revelations that I know about the lives of people, and after I shared that, those people stopped to speak. I understood that they are afraid to go in that realm of revelation where I want to take them. Or maybe I want to take them closer to God. They are afraid they will not come. So I leave them to that level of revelation. I will not go beyond that level of revelation to those kind of people. Hallelujah. Where you are going, I am telling you, those are level of highness in the spirit. Have you seen an eagle soar on high? He is alone in the realms of the high skies. He is alone there. He's not with a group. And if you want to try to bring pigeons and sparrows and crows with you, stay there on the ground. Don't soar on like high like an eagle. You have to leave them there because they will be afraid. They don't have the capacity to go there. Go there alone. Go there alone. Go there alone. Hallelujah. People of God, can you say amen if you are there? Hallelujah. So the isolation is not a result of, oh, he is not talking with me, she is not talking with me. The isolation because of righteousness is a result of your soaring high. You cannot take the pigeons with you. There are Christians, listen to me, many preachers will come and say, all believers are equal. All Christians are equal. We are one. We are at equal levels. God treats, yeah, God has no partiality, but we are not equal. Christians are at different levels. And by no means I want to criticize anyone, but I am speaking to the eagles. I am speaking to the vessels of righteousness that don't try to make pigeons and crows and sparrows fly with you. They cannot go there. And if you try to do so, even you cannot go there. Instead of you going up, you will stay with them, trying to work on them in lower levels. Do you understand that? In lower levels. So leave them because they don't have the appetite and capacity. You go alone. So to the heights God is taking you, people will be afraid to come with you. That's why they will withdraw from you. And let it happen. Let it happen. Don't try to build up what God has destroyed. You understand that? Don't try to build up what God has destroyed. In Jesus' mighty name. So, do we understand that? You might be lonely. You might be isolated. The loneliness and isolation I am talking about is not a curse, is a blessing. Many believers, God tried to train them in that area, but they were not able to be in that area. God tried to place them, but they were so anxious. A lady I ministered to, she was blessed a lot, but she was in her 38 or 40s, and she was not married. And I still told her to wait on the Lord, And there are many things in her that she needs to get rid of, many mindset, many perspective. And if she marries currently, that's why God is not sending a life partner. If she marries currently, her marriage will not be in a good state. It will be destroyed soon. So I told her, but she said, "Oh, Brother Rahul, you don't understand. You are a young man, but when you reach the age of 38, 40, you will know that you want to have a person to talk to put your head on his shoulders, you know, to be intimate with, to this and that." Oh my God. Hallelujah. Yeah, she is a Christian, but she is not in the bunch of my assignment. The people in the bunch of my assignment are those who are ready to deny themselves and carry the cross. They are the bunch of my assignment. So people are just not able to stay alone. They want someone to speak to. They want someone to text to. As soon as something happens in my life, they will find the person. "Sister K, where you are? I want to tell you what happened in my life." Hey, cool down. Don't tell it to people. Stay in secret. Lean on God. Don't talk much. Be silent. "When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storms. Father, you are king over the flood, and I will be what? Still. And know you are God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? Hallelujah. Get rid of that anxiousness to talk. I want to talk to someone. Oh, someone cheated me. I want to tell it to someone else. No, keep it. Go to God and speak with him. Go to God. Speak with him. Speak with him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My sister is like, everything that happens in the office, after she comes back to the office, she grabs me, takes me on the chair, and tells me from the start of the shift to the end of the shift, whatever happened, she has to tell me every day. And I told her every day, I tell her, "Stop it. What are you doing?" Hallelujah. 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 If you want to walk in the path of righteousness, hallelujah, God will keep you in the secret place. And the secret place is a place of isolation. Hallelujah. Many things that happen, he will not allow. The Holy Spirit, don't tell anyone. Is God not there? Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. That was Joseph. You see, the Bible says Joseph, he was in the prison. And he was promoted to be the supervisor in the prison. So the Bible says he was going around, and the Bible says that he saw the baker and the wine bearer. Their faces were sad, and he said, "Why are you sad? What happened to you? Why is your face so grumpy? What is the problem with you?" And they said, "You know what? We are put into the prison, you know, and we had a dream," and so on and so forth. Now, the way Joseph is talking, he is not revealing anything that is happening in his life, what he is going through. But here he is trying to encourage other people. Because he is a man of the secret place. Hallelujah. He's not like going to the prisoners and you saying, you know what happened with me? My brothers ditched me and they threw me in the pit. They wanted to kill me. And then I was sold here in Potiphar's, and the Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce me. I did not do anything, but they accused me of rape. You know, all the bad things are happening with me. He was not doing that in prison. He said nothing about his troubles to anyone. Christians don't realize that. Hallelujah. When you walk in the path of righteousness, you are silent. God will keep you silent. You cannot share your troubles with everyone. You have to take your burdens to Jesus. You have to take your burdens to Jesus. Are you understanding? Okay. Okay. Isolated, lonely, and betrayed. Hallelujah. But yet, they are victorious. But yet, they are the ones who bring solutions for other people's life. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, the next revelation of righteousness is, the next revelation of righteousness is, a righteous vessel has a track record and evidence of his righteous life for the next generation to study and follow. What did I say? A righteous vessel has a track record and a evidence of his righteous life for the next generation to follow. Second Timothy, again to that scripture. Let's go. Second Timothy, chapter number 4. Second Timothy, chapter number 4, verse number 6 and 7. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's the wonderful thing I love about walking and living a righteous life. That when the time comes for you to depart and leave this body, you know it. Hallelujah. So it's righteous people don't die. It's not a death for them, but they depart. It's a leaving. It's a passing away. Are we understanding? Apostle Paul knew when he would depart. You will see the same with Apostle Peter. When he was writing 1 Peter, he told the church, the time of my leaving this tent is very near. So I want to bring to you a reminder of the doctrine of the word of God. Don't depart from the word of God. So they knew them when they will depart. And the wonderful thing about it is, they are departing peacefully. Why they are departing peacefully? Because their conscience is clear and they have a track record that they lived for God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, it is more wonderful and peaceful and satisfying than becoming the richest man of the world. When you know that you are going to go with the Lord and you know that you were poured, your life was poured as a drink offering on the altar of the Lord, and your conscience is clear. Hallelujah. And you know that you have fought the fight and you have finished your race. Hallelujah. People of God, can you shout hallelujah?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you want, that is, a righteous man has a track record, okay? A righteous man has a track record, has a track record of the evidence of his righteousness that he walked in his life. And so what happens to him is, when he departs peacefully. He departs peacefully. I have seen big ministers, when the time for them to depart came, they did not depart peacefully. Because there were some ladies who were not their wife, they left those ladies with a child. They committed adultery. There were some people who were having cases against them of child molestation, of cheating, of robbing money. You understand that? They are not, though they had big ministries, beloved, though they preached the gospel globally, but when they are departing, because they don't have a track record of righteousness, they are not able to depart peacefully. You understand that? God, you know, more than having a big ministry, More than, oh, I want to save souls, stop there. Live a righteous life for God. That is what will qualify you on the day of judgment when you stand before Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the book of Ezekiel says that even in on that day of the sword, and when the city will be destroyed, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job are there, they will not deliver their families. They will deliver only themselves by their righteousness. So God, the Spirit of God is demanding righteousness from His people. He's calling for righteousness from His people. And what is righteousness? One of the revelation of righteousness is that you should have a track record, beloved. You shall have a track record. There are many prophets who have risen in Africa, in Nigeria, who come up and say, I did not have any born again experience. I was born again from the time I came out of my mother's womb. I was a prophet from the time I came out of my mother's womb. Where is your track record? I did not come out to preach like this. I have a track record from the days of my youth. I served the Lord. Hallelujah. Even in the churches that I served the Lord, you know, if parents have to send their girls for a picnic for the church, the parents will come to the pastor and say, is Brother Rahul going in that picnic? Pastor, yeah, Brother Rahul is going. Oh, then we will send our girl in that picnic. A track record, a evidence of righteousness, a evidence that you are pure, you are holy. Hallelujah. Amen. And if the track record is not good, today is the time to repent and cleanse yourself and get your track record. Get your track record, beloved. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Everyone say, I need to get my righteous track record. Everyone say that. I need to get my righteous track record. Hallelujah. First Samuel. Okay, First Samuel, chapter number 12. First Samuel, chapter number 12. First Samuel, chapter number 12. Hallelujah. And verse number 1 to 5. First Samuel, chapter number 12. Let's go to verse number 1 to 5. Now Samuel said to all Israel, indeed I have heeded your voice in all that you have said to me, and have made a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you. And they said, you have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand. Then he said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. Hallelujah. So Samuel is coming before the people because Samuel has anointed Saul as king. So there is a transfer of leadership. We will come to that about another revelation of righteousness. But as of now, you see, Samuel is coming before the people and he is bold enough to challenge the people for someone to come up and say, Samuel cheated me. He has my ox. He has my this. He took it from me. He stole it from me. So Samuel was bold enough to say that. Why? Because he knew that he lived a righteous life. He had a track record. Okay, listen to me. If one does not have a track record, the righteousness that he portrays is fake and not true. If someone does not have a track record, evidence, the righteousness that he portrays is fake and not true. Do you know churches, mega churches and the pastors, the number of court cases, the number of scandals in their name, so many of them, they have shut it up by money, by paying the The victims, no track record, and still they come on the stage and show themselves as a preacher. No, it's fake preaching. It's fake righteousness. It's not true righteousness. If there is a true righteous man, he will have a track record. He can boldly confess before the congregation, any ladies that I have molested, can you stand and tell it? He knows that he is righteous. He knows that he has lived purely for God. He knows that he has not cheated anyone. He has not betrayed anyone for false gains. A track record of righteousness. When you walk with God, it will be a blameless walk, leaving behind the footprints for others to follow. Remember what God told to Abraham? Walk with me and be blameless. Abraham, walk with me and be blameless. If you are really walking with God, your walk will be a blameless walk. Hallelujah. And even though your ministry is not huge, like global influence and this and that coming on the TV and all those things, but after you pass away and leave your tent, there will be footprints for the next generation to follow in your footprints. Hallelujah. What kind of ministry that you did, though you built so many churches and though you ministered in all the nations and traveled and held crusades, but when you are leaving with all scandals on your head. And when you pass away, the footprints that you brought in ministry are diminished. And there is no one who could study your life and follow Jesus. Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That is what a righteous man can do. He can tell people, you can follow in my footprints. Hallelujah. You can imitate me as I imitate Christ. A righteous vessel has a track record and an evidence of righteousness for his life. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Let me end here. There are a few more revelations about righteousness. Yes, there are a few more revelations. And then after I finish righteousness, I want to go on a revelation called the sons of Belial. Hallelujah. So maybe by next week we will be on sons of Belial. Maybe by next week, Sunday night. All right. Sunday, coming Sunday night, I will continue the teachings. The coming Friday, we will have prophetic prayers and intercession. Okay, the coming Friday, we will have intercession. The coming Sunday means this Saturday, the Sunday coming, we will have, I will continue the message. After that, on Friday, we will have prophetic prayers, intercession. So come, I will minister in the gifts of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit leads me to the lives of people on the next Friday. Next week, Friday. All right. Let us pray. God is looking for righteousness. If anything God is looking for, he is looking for righteousness. He is looking for people, not people who will say, oh, Lord, Father, I want a big ministry. Anoint me for this. Anoint me for that. Those prayers are okay. It's not technically wrong. But God is looking for people who can say, Lord, make me holy as you are holy. Make me holy as you are holy. Consecrate me, sanctify me, cleanse me, Lord, Father. Hallelujah. Can you raise up your voices and cry out to God to cleanse us? Hallelujah. To cleanse you. I am telling you, from the time I encountered Jesus at the age of 19, I used to have shifts. But after completing my night shifts, graveyard shifts, I would come back home and first thing I will go to my room and said, Lord, make me holy as you are holy. Oh Lord, whatever you want to do with me, do with me. Hallelujah. God wants you to be walking a righteous life. Hallelujah. Walking in the righteous paths of God. Hallelujah. God wants to clothe you completely. Hallelujah. With the garments of righteousness. Hallelujah. Root out lust. Root out love of money. Love of the world. Root out evil. Root out selfishness. Root out every kind and form of sin from your life that you can be a consecrated righteous vessel for the Lord. Hallelujah. Used by him. Oh, rasakatabo lakatiyara falahadiya. There are prices that you have to pay. Oh, but if, yeah, it's painful. It's not convenient to your flesh. But when you pay it, oh, to go and move towards closer to God and to complete the assignment that you will not regret on the day you stand before Him. And you will be, hallelujah, you will be appreciated by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself by the crown of righteousness. Apostle Paul said, all this I did, it's to win the crown of righteousness, to win the crown of righteousness. So there awaits a crown of righteousness, and you will have no regrets on that day for living such a life. No regrets whatsoever. Hallelujah. You decide for yourself if you want to have enjoy your life now and have regrets that day, or if you want to walk in the righteousness of the Lord and have no regrets on the day of judgment when you stand before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Father, raise up righteousness, Lord. Father, raise up righteous vessels who can be used by you, Lord, who can walk and function in the real anointing and the ministry that you have given them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Fill them with your presence, Lord. Make them hungry and thirsty for your word, for your presence, Lord, and to walk and to live a life of righteousness in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Roba lakofo zeteke revania, e zavola hadarafenzi genianda. Oh Lord, teach us to crucify and deny ourselves, deny our will, carry the cross and follow you, Lord. Oh Lord, the devil and the flesh tells, oh, it's hard, you cannot do it. But the Holy Spirit calls us to that life, oh Lord. And we don't want to listen to our flesh or listen to the devil. We want to listen to your Holy Spirit and obey, Lord, your word, Father, and obey your call and not the call of the world. Oh Lord, we don't want to water down the standard of our life looking at other people around us, but we want to look at you, Jesus, and Lord, raise our life up to that standard, the standard of the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the gospel shall not be watered down in Jesus' mighty name, but there will be preachers of righteousness, I pray, who will preach the truth, who will be the mouthpiece of God, who will be the prophets of whatever they speak. She shall come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. Raise up authentic prophets. Oh Lord, the church of God, the body of Christ, is in need of a strong leadership, Lord. Lord, like Samuel, Lord, like Paul, Father. Oh Rebalaka, like Moses, Lord God. Not like Aaron, Lord. Not like Saul, oh Father, but like Moses, like Samuel, Lord. Strong leadership who do not fear men, but who execute the word of the Lord that is given to them, Father. Raise up those people. Even from this place, Father, I decree and declare these people are not depressed people, are not people entangled in their domestic issues, but raise them up as leaders, as true leaders of righteousness, as preachers of righteousness. Oh, Father, that you will ignite that fire in them, Lord. Ignite the fire in the lives of these individuals, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, if the devil has manipulated their identity, in Jesus' mighty name, if the devil is showing them you are nothing, oh, you will be engrossed, you will be sick, you will be this, you will be that, every manipulation with that their identity I cancel. Let them get into the word, let them meditate on it day and night, let them stay in your presence, that you will anoint them as vessels of righteousness and be used by you, Father. Because in the coming days, righteousness shall reign and wicked shall be destroyed. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, continue to teach us, Lord. Continue to speak to your people, Lord. Everything we give into your hands, we cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Even those who are not there, Father, cover them with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray. People of God, shout amen. Loud.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.